Last time on Culture File, we met the Tiki, the mythic Polynesian man-god who somehow became a rum-soaked patron saint of leisure in post-war America, where bulging-eyed Tiki carvings became the signature of the decorative style our guide Sven Kirsten dubbed Tiki Pop. Sven is back today to make some more mythical introductions, this time to Don the Beachcomber and his rival Vic the Trader.
The restaurateurs created these characters much like in a movie or in a theater play that they represented, and the Beachcomber and the Southeast Traders were real figures in history that were sort of the intermediaries of the Western and the Native culture. There were these white men that had made the decision and were envied by many to drop out of civilization and live in the islands. The Beachcomber, being the symbol of leisure and not having to submit to the Western stresses, and the Trader being sort of the smart, proprietor of and trader of foreign and Western goods. And so Don the Beachcomber started a restaurant in Hollywood under this name and concept, and Trader Vic in San Francisco, and they were both so successful that they franchised out to American cities, which in turn inspired other restaurateurs to say, oh, I want to have, I want to have a restaurant like that, and I want to start a franchise business, which, is very lucrative, of course. Trader Vic is the only of the big Polynesian chains that still exists, and they keep on building new restaurants. I'm here in Munich right now, and there's a fantastic original one from the 1972 Olympics down in the basement of the Hotel Bayerischer Hof. The Tiki style really was applied to mostly to for places that had to do with recreation, bars and restaurants. But then later on, when it really became a style in its own right, it was applied to motels, bowling alleys, amusement parks, but also to apartment buildings, which took on this style of fun and leisure to the people that were looking to rent apartments. The original mid-century Americans that were into it didn't... It had a sense of whimsy back then, but it also, they took it for as being something authentic even. It was sold to them as authentic Polynesian decor and design, and they didn't know any better. They didn't think about it. Of course, the intellectuals and the media and sort of, they mostly poo-pooed it and looked down on it. But the average, middle-class and working-class guy totally was sold on the fact that this was Polynesian stuff. Their workday look was all sort of covered in concrete, glass, steel, and chrome. So when they got home, they really enjoyed having their little rumpus room downstairs in the basement, their own little basement bar that was all bamboo and rattan and natural materials. You can perfectly compare it with the Jetsons cartoon series and the Flintstones. These two things coexisting, almost kind of creating each other to strike a balance. The cocktail, the tropical cocktail, was sort of the lifeblood of the Polynesian restaurant and bar, because the profit margin was so big, and you just put a little bit of rum in there and a couple of spices and stuff. And back in the heyday, you could take these tiki mugs home as souvenirs once you ordered your drink, and you know they became sort of the metaphor of going to a tropical island, except this was an urban island, and bringing home a souvenir from your visit. It really had a really brief peak. It lasted from like 1955 to 1965. It existed beyond 1965, but in the late 60s, this big generation gap happened, and it became sort of a thing of the old generation and fell out of favor pretty quickly. When I came upon the first remnants of it, it really had so completely disappeared from American consciousness that it was like it was some kind of dream that they had and weren't sure if it really had happened. People got embarrassed of the style. You know, I talked to an apartment manager who was proud that she had gotten rid of all the tiki carvings because it dated the apartment building. And it was, you know, that you didn't want to be older than a couple of years. There were several businesses from Southern California, Oceanic Arts, to Northern California, Witgo, and on the East Coast, there was Orchids of Hawaii. Business that specialized and hired artisans that carved these tikis for them. But it was very much like, you know, you could compare it the stucco craftsmen of the turn of the century, that, you know, all of a sudden modern architecture came along and they were out of a job, and a whole sort of tradition vanished because of a style change. The American artists today consider tiki as their own heritage, not so much as a Polynesian heritage, because they grew up with it as children, going to these restaurants. They were often special events places you would go to for birthdays or graduations, and they know it from their parents having their downstairs bars. So, you know, and they have the same kind of, I find, wonderful attitude towards it that Americans had in the mid-50s. They're not so worried about stepping on people's toes because they do it out of a love for the subject and not out of some kind of, you know, chauvinistic or racist kind of motivation.
Sven Kirsten there, and his book Tiki Pop is out now from Taschen.